This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
We chat some biking here on the podcast today. Welcome to the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown, coming to you from a delightful Cape Town in South Africa. It's so good to have you on boards. And today on the podcast, we are chatting to a returning guest, James Harrington, who enjoys the bike a lot more than he enjoys the swim. And we'll get some of what he's done over time to get better on the bike. But we talk about the numbers today and really digging into the numbers, having a couple of baselines and working on improving those over time. So I think you're going to get a lot out of this podcast. Before we chat to James, just a thank you to the sponsor of this episode. It is brought to you by Wheel Science. If you are in the market for a new set of wheels for your bike, make sure you check out Wheel Science, okay? The URL is pretty simple to get to. I've made it easy for you. It'll redirect you to their website. Just click on thekonaedge.com/wheels, and it'll take you through to the Wheel Science website. And once you're there, if you decide you want to get yourself a set of high-performance wheels at half the price, because that's Wheel Science's payoff line, they'll give you 10% discount for being a listener of the Kona Edge. The coupon code to use is Kona Edge, one word, Kona Edge. They'll give you 10% discount at check out. The link to that website is below this podcast that you're listening to in the podcast player or on the show notes on our website. So, or you can just type it into the Google, thekonaedge.com/wheels. That's where you can get all the details. Let's chat some biking as we head back to the United States to catch up with our next guest, James Harrington. James, welcome back onto the podcast.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
James, you enjoy biking way more than you enjoy swimming. You do a lot on the indoor trainer as well. Obviously, living in Chicago, weather-wise, it's pretty tough to get out. But when you are busy and you've got a pretty hectic schedule, sometimes being on the indoor trainer is probably the best sort of use of your time as opposed to heading out outdoors, and you can make those workouts really count.
Oh yeah, I agree. I think the indoor training is very effective. Not just from a time perspective, you can do it regardless of weather, regardless of, you know, daylights, you know, dark. And then also having a family and kids, you know, you hear about cyclists getting hit and stuff from a safety perspective. You know, you just, you know, being a father, I worry about going out there by myself and you know, having an accident. And so for me, it's also that peace of mind of, you know, hey, I don't think I'm going to get injured and fall off my trainer. So I think I'll be okay. But I think it is really good, the structured workouts that you can do. And when you add in something like a Zwift with that element, the time just goes by so much faster. So I'll have Zwift up on one screen and I'll have my Amazon Prime, you know, kind of going on the other one. And in 2018, I had been streaming, it's an old TV episode called Psych. And so I'm now on the final season, which I think is like season 8, I think it is. So I've started at, you know, 2018, right at season 1. And so I've gone through all the episodes. And so I'm about ready to finish up the entire 8 seasons as I've been riding, riding the Zwift in the basement, getting ready for this year. So
it's funny, I've been doing that with Breaking Bad. So
okay,
that's my fix on the bike at the moment. Tell me a little bit about the sort of advent of the technology. I mean, we've spoken about Zwift a few times here on the podcast, and there's a few of them. There's Trainer Road, and adding that to something like a CompuTrainer or a Wahoo Kicker, it's made those indoor workouts a lot more bearable, hasn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause when I had my first one, it was just, you know, a dumb trainer, so to speak, and had it set up in my garage, and, you know, maybe you put on a Sufferfest video or something like that, but it doesn't give you the real time feedback and everything else. And it's pretty amazing to see, you know, how other workouts will impact your power and how you feel and things like that. So it's interesting to be able to track that over time, and also to be able to see, you know, being a little bit of a numbers guy, so to speak, it's also interesting to see how things will change over time, and to see how you'll progress and when you actually start to maybe put benchmarks that are a little bit higher than what you thought you could have achieved, And then actually doing that within a workout, it's gratifying to be able to see that and to see that right on the screen when, you know, in the old world, when you were just on a dump trainer, it was like, well, I think I've got it cranked down on the wheel hard enough and I'm pedaling really hard. So, but it is nice to have that real time feedback and interaction.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that the impact of other workouts on the bike, because I think a lot of people don't take their whole training into account on individual workouts, because and it's not just the training, it's if you've had a bad night. I mean, you've been in the sport with very little kids, and we all know what having small kids in the house is like. You don't sleep properly and you're working and it's stress. Those things sort of impact your training as well, and these sort of tools really help you go, hey, you know what, I only had 4 hours of sleep last night and I can see what it's doing to my numbers. Maybe I need to sleep better. Is that, I mean, do you use those tools to guide those sort of decisions?
Yeah. The one thing I've used quite a bit over the last few years is, you know, with the new wrist-based heart rate, like I've got my Garmin and I wear it 24/7, 365. And I really do keep an eye on my resting heart rate and kind of how that fluctuates over time. And it's amazing, you know, even if you think you slept all night, but have sort of a, you know, restless night of sleep and you see the heart rate go up a little bit, or maybe I went out and I had a couple of drinks or whatever else and the heart rate goes up a little bit. It's amazing how those things, you can see the impact to a workout over time. And then you really start to listen to your body and see what, you know, what it's responding to, what it's not responding to, and watching that over time. And I know there are other things to look at from a heart rate perspective, but for me, it's a quick and easy gauge. And then also, you know, it'll track sleep and things like that. So it allows me to kind of have a good gauge for, you know, kind of where I need to be. And I think part of that too is just over time, you kind of have that feeling, you know, what your body can do. And, you know, if you're pushing it too hard, and, I've learned to read my body and understand, you know, what I can and can't do. But you're right. I mean, you know, a hard run one day followed by, you know, a not good night's sleep, and then you try to pick up with some cycling and things like that, and you're like, well, I just feel off. Well, you've got to kind of take a step back sometimes and kind of look at it from more of a holistic perspective. And it's not just the run, it's not just the bike, it might be the lack of sleep, or it might be travel or time zones or whatever else. So there are a lot of different aspects that go into that.
The bike's an interesting one though too, James. You talk about being quite keen on the numbers. It's easy to get overwhelmed by the numbers for someone who isn't that sort of way inclined, but there's so many things that you could be tracking, and you and I both know this, what gets measured improves. So if you've got access to all this data, even if you're not looking at all of it, pick a couple of key metrics and track those over time, I think is what I'm hearing you say. Obviously, if you are a bit more into those numbers and you're more analytical, the more data you've got, the better. But it's better to do something than nothing.
Yeah, I agree. And the technology's made it so easy now, you know, with things, you know, with Garmin and Strava and things like that automatically uploading. I years ago, I actually used to keep like an Excel log of like how long I'd work out and miles and things like that. You don't have to log any of it now. So now it's got all the things that you want: heart rate, power, you know, duration, you know, miles, everything. So all of it's kind of right there. And now you can see it in nice, pretty graphs and trends and everything else. So it makes it easier. I wouldn't say I'm the most analytical person, but it makes it easy to just get good snapshots and good views into times. And it's so easy now with all the technology being, you know, really kind of all, you know, intertwined and interacting with each other. It makes it so much easier. So.
You also mentioned in our first chat being on the slightly smaller side, that guys who are 15, 20 pounds heavier than you pushing out bigger numbers from a power perspective. I'm taking it you obviously train to power. What are some of the things that you've done over time that has improved your power numbers in the sport?
Yeah, I think the couple things are, I think like you talked about earlier, was being consistent, I think, you know, because it's amazing how much you'll lose that fitness if you're not being consistent. And then I think with a lot of the workouts now is really pushing yourself beyond where you thought you could go. You know, whether you're setting and doing a 3-minute interval or 5-minute interval or 10 or 20 or whatever it is, it's so easy now to kind of just say, hey, well, let me just bump this up a little bit. I'm feeling good. Let me just bump it up a little bit, see what my body can actually do. Or maybe you're having an off day and you just back it off a little bit. But I think that having that flexibility and having that feedback almost instantaneously makes it so easy. And I think that that's what allows you to kind of track that over time. And when you get competitive, then you're like, well, I know my high is this, you know, from a couple of weeks ago, and I think I'm feeling better than I was a couple of weeks ago. So now let me try to push it and see if I can go, you know, 5 or 10 watts more. So it definitely helps and makes it easier to track, I think, and gauge where you're at. You know, there are so many other things that when you actually get outside with, you know, wind and weight and aerodynamics and everything else, that'll play a factor into it. So it's kind of nice when you're there on the trainer, it's a little bit more of a static environment, not as many variables that can, you know, you can track a little better, and you can have a little bit better gauge of kind of where you're at from a fitness perspective. So
absolutely. Favorite workout on the bike? What do you love doing?
You know, I love doing shorter intervals in that 3, 5, 7 minute range. And doing multiple intervals like that, I enjoy. I don't really enjoy doing those longer 20, 30 minute ones. Those are really difficult, not only from a mental perspective, but also from a physical perspective, those are difficult. I like being kind of those sweet spot ones, 3, 5, 7 minute ones, and doing multiple sets of intervals. I like doing those.
Well, brilliant. James, it's been great having you on once again. I look forward to chatting a little bit about your run next time out. And that's it for this edition of the Kone Edge. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to James for sharing his bike tips here on the podcast. And before I head out, just a quick shout out to our sponsor, Wheel Science. You can get yourself 10% discount for being a Kone Edge listener by using the coupon code Kone Edge at checkout. They have got some phenomenal wheels, pretty much anything you could need as a triathlete. Go check them out, because they've done some independent testing as well, and the results have been phenomenal. It's all on the website, and if there's something specific you're after, make sure you get in touch with Peter Coombe, okay? He's the guy who owns Wheel Science, him and his wife Jo, who's been on the podcast before. She's a triathlete herself, so is Peter, but they're more than willing to help you out. So just pop them a mail and ask them the questions you need to ask, and be sure to use that coupon code Kone Edge at checkout to get 10% discount. Okay, the website to get to is thekoneedge.com/wheels, or simply click on the link in the podcast player you're listening to this to, and it'll take you straight through there. Until tomorrow, from myself, Brad Brown, it's cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kone Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kone Edge.